We are listening to new music from artist Nana Ajoa. The song is called Simple Things. We're about to talk about not so simple things on the Monday morning show. The Minnesota legislative session will be starting up tomorrow after Easter and Passover break. Peter Callahan covers state politics for MinnPost, and his latest article is titled, As Lawmakers Take a Holiday Break, Here's Where Things Stand at the Minnesota Legislature. Peter Callahan is back with us on KEXE, KBXE. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning. So they're back tomorrow. How has the 2019 that divided houses, how has it gone so far, would you say?
Well, I guess you could say it's gone as expected, which means to me that House has priorities, the DFL in the House has priorities, the GOP in the Senate has priorities, and those priorities don't mix very often or don't match very often. And the majority leader of the Senate, Paul Gazelka, has basically said, you know, a lot of that stuff's just going to fall by the wayside by the time the session ends, and we'll be doing what we have to do, which is the budget and then a handful of things that we agree on.
He gave kind of a good-feeling speech before they left for break, didn't he?
Yeah, Paul Gazelka is sort of the, I guess you might say, the adult in the room a lot of times. He's a very kind of a calm influence on the place. So he did give kind of a homily, as I described it, of, you know, rest up and be ready to go for the last month. And this is when it gets tough, and this is when emotions run high, and urge people to try to keep perspective.
You write about that, you say that nothing tells the story of the divided legislature and a DFL governor better than the issue of education. So let's use that as an example. Where is everybody standing when it comes to education?
Yeah, there's so many things really in this setup right now that define the differences. I mean, but I picked that one out just because we're moving into budget season right now. And if you go to MinnPost.com, Karen Sanouf, who's doing our education coverage, has a takeout on the education issue. But I just touched on just the kind of the bottom line numbers, and that is that the House and the Senate proposals as of now are $700 million apart. And $700 million is even a lot of money in state government. And that's the difference between Democrats proposing a 3% increase in the first year of the two-year biennium in just general education funding and 2% in the second year, and the Republicans proposing half of 1% for each of those 2 years. And that, to me, kind of illustrates the differences between the two in these budget targets that they're working off of. And at some point, to get finished, the House and the Senate, with the governor's help, have to agree on a single number, and that's the gap just in education.
Well, Peter, normally you'd think that those would be starting points and that there would be negotiations, bills heard in each House, and then the House and Senate negotiations, and they'd come up with something in between. But a lot of the writing, a lot of your writing and others I've read, suggests that that might not even, that thing, a process like that might not even happen.
Well, I think on budget it probably will. Whether it's halfway in between those two numbers is unlikely, just because there's a bit of gamesmanship going, whereas the Senate number is sort of unnaturally low and the DFL number is high because of their proposed tax increases. I don't think halfway between zero gas tax and 20-cent gas tax is going to be 10. I think that's one of the issues that the Senate GOP is just an absolute no on. And there's other things that I just don't think there's a halfway point. I don't think the Republicans are interested in creating a paid family leave insurance program. So there's things like that that I think you're correct, that there really isn't a negotiated solution and there isn't a halfway solution. But probably on the budget, they will come up with some targets. It was interesting when the Senate Republicans were holding hearings on their budget proposals, a lot of Senate Republicans were saying, I wouldn't vote for this. This is just our starting point. There's no way I would support the level of spending in these proposals. but let's let the process run. So I think you're right on budget, but maybe there's less compromise room on some of the issues.
How about there's a projected state budget surplus of, I think, $1.5 billion. Is there some flexibility in there?
Well, it's down to $1 billion after the last forecast, but it still seems like a lot of money unless you're looking at a, you know, a $50 or $49 billion state general fund budget. And the Republicans are saying, yeah, that ought to be enough for us to, you know, feather a little money out in certain areas that need more money and go home without tax increases. DFLers say that just gets eaten up by inflationary increases and all of the agencies, and we need tax increases to what they call investments and what Republicans call increased spending. A lot of theirs is in education and higher education, but there is DFL spending proposals almost across the board.
We're talking with Peter Callahan from MinnPost about the legislative session. They've been on break, and they start up again.
What, do they have just 1 month to
tomorrow?
Go?
Tomorrow, yeah, May 25th, is that?
20th.
May 20th, wow. Okay. So you also write, I don't know if you touched on this, but you write about the difference in how they're calculating the budgets as well. And I saw a quote you had from Senator Tom Bach on that. Can you explain that a little bit?
Well, I mean, not that I don't like inside baseball, because I do, but this is to some degree inside baseball, in which what's your starting point for when you're going to talk about the budget? The Senate Republicans are starting with the existing budget that was approved really now 2 years ago, because the amendments that they worked to make last year were vetoed, whereas the Democrats use their starting point as the money available from this last forecast, the $1 billion surplus that we just referenced. So that kind of pushes the Republicans to an artificially low starting point. And as we've said already, most of the chairs, the finance chairs, don't think that's a realistic number to start with. And the D's are starting higher because they're including this most recent forecast plus tax increases. So as we've said, that kind of spreads the gap even more to a large degree artificially. And what the DFL are saying is, we're not buying that starting point from you guys. Don't think that you get to start there and that halfway is halfway between where you started from and where we are. At least posturing in the statements that they're making are saying that, good try, but we're not going to buy that.
You know, there have been some bills passed and signed. And most recently, I think it was the hands-free bill that basically regulated people using texting while driving, things like that. But there's two other bills two other issues that I thought would be fairly easy to address this session, and I don't think they have. One would be the federal government has made a lot of money available to states to secure their voting. Cybersecurity for our voting systems. That was one, and Minnesota is, I believe, the only state out of all 50 to not tap into that federal money. And the other one had to do with opioids regulation and the crisis in opioid overdoses and things like that. How would you describe the status of those two issues?
Well, both are in conference committee, House-Senate conference committees. Opioids, my sense is that is moving forward. They're reconciling some of the differences in who, when I say who, I guess I mean what entities and what industries would pay these license fees to fund this program. The Senate is a little bit broader, goes and taps different people, which has the effect of lowering the amount of fees that would be paid by opioid makers, distributors, and those two entities are the ones that get most of the attention on the House side. So they're working that out, and I think that's reconciling. What we refer to as HAVA, for Help America Vote Act, is this $6+ million that the Fed's made available. And Minnesota is strange in a couple of ways. One, they have legislation that requires the legislature to approve the spending of that federal money, whereas other states do not. And they also Minnesota lacks something called provisional voting that a lot of other states have. And that's the crux of this issue. Republicans who are very sensitive and concerned about what they consider to be vote fraud and people who aren't eligible to vote, voting, even though as an aside, it's hard to find that problem if you look at the numbers. But they're very concerned about it, and they want a good amount of that money to go into either creating a provisional voting system, which is if we're not sure if you're registered, you cast a provisional ballot. That ballot is set aside so that the concerns about it can be resolved before it's tossed into the counting pile. Democrats consider that to be an attempt to suppress the vote among certain groups and have opposed provisional voting systems. So that's the issue right here. If you recall, the Republicans were willing to have 1.5 million of that released right away because they wanted to argue over the rest of it with these issues in mind. And the Democrats and Governor Walz want all 6 million released, and they want it spent by a plan that Secretary of State Simon has created with a committee and publicized, and he's very transparent about how the money's going to be spent. So that one now becomes an end-of-session bargaining position.
You know, we've talked to the Secretary about it, and he's been very diplomatic. But do you think, is this... Senator, is Kiffmeyer the one that's standing in the way, or do most Republicans also oppose it? And she was a former Secretary of State.
Yes. I mean, she is the committee chair, so she takes the lead on these things, and the Senate majority leader does defer to committee chairs quite frequently. But I think there are other people in the caucus, and it has become a national conservative issue, voter security, voter list security. I think there's a lot of people in that caucus who think this is an important issue and that this is a wedge where they can get at this issue. And they will really, I think, push to the end of session on getting some of this money spent either to create a provisional voting system or to have some other attempts at regulating and governing voter ID or voter lists and voter security as in a way to, in their view, root out illegal voting.
Peter, what other than the 20-cent gas tax, what are the Republicans proposing for transportation spending? Where would the money come from and how much? What would they like to do? Are they far apart in terms of how much money is needed? It's just where to get the money, or are they far apart on the money needed?
I don't necessarily think they're far apart on what the need is, although they definitely camp toward roads and bridges and not toward Twin Cities area primarily, but also other area transit spending. Their proposal is similar to what they've done the last several sessions, which is to dedicate sales tax on auto parts to transportation. And prior to that, that was just regular general fund sales tax money. And they think that provides the ability to bond for quite a bit of spending. And also they would like to do this regular bonding and borrow with repayment from general fund. So that's kind of the issue. Democrats are very reluctant to have any revenue taken away from general fund. And Republicans, I think, generally look for ways to reduce general fund spending just as a way to control overall spending in government. But the governor's proposal, 8 cents of the 20 cents goes to, in essence, buy back that sales tax money that has gone into transportation the last several years.
So that would go back to the general fund.
Correct, and be available for spending on, general fund type things. But the point being is, they really feel strongly. The Constitution says these are the dedicated revenues for transportation, gasoline taxes. I can't spend gasoline taxes on anything else. I can't even spend gasoline taxes on transit. They're very reluctant then to take general fund revenues that are left to pay for everything else, and have that permanently shifted into transportation spending.
Well, Peter, I hope you rested up on the break. It begins again tomorrow. You got a busy month ahead for you. You can follow Peter Callahan's coverage of the Minnesota legislature at minpost.com. Thanks so much. We'll check in with you again.
I'll be here.
All right. Thanks. This is the Monday Morning Show, where you get connected to state politics.